Good. How is everyone this morning? It's really great to see you all. Can you hear me? Doesn't look like the... is that switched on? Can you hear me now? Yep, okay. It's really great to be here, and especially great to welcome new people as well this morning. It's 1st of October today, so as Isabel said, we're starting a new series, and... It sort of crept up on me. I volunteered to do a sermon in October, and I didn't realise that the 1st of October was coming around so fast. But here we are. It's October, isn't it? Look at that. It'll be Christmas before you blink. If you were with us over the summer, we were studying the statements that Jesus makes in the Bible about who he is. He talks about I am throughout John's Gospel. And over these next two months, we're going to be taking... what the Bible now says about us. So we've looked at what the Bible, Jesus says about himself. We're now going to be looking at what does the Bible say about us. And what does that mean for our relationships together in particular. So for this first week today, we're going to be looking at the theme of I am in Christ. And Graham gave me three verses to look at. But as I started to look into it, I found that there are literally tens, maybe hundreds of verses all over the New Testament about it. So we could be here a very long time if I'm not careful. But don't worry, I'm going to try and make it as brief as I can. I just want to start off, first of all, with a quick illustration. So I've got my props here. So I have here in this bag an avocado. So who here likes avocados? Yeah, you like avocados? Like a bit of guacamole? Yeah? So we all know that inside this avocado, there is a stone, yeah? So I was going to cut it, just to make sure. I hope you can see me on Zoom. And hopefully it's a good one. I haven't told Edna, I've nicked this from the fridge, so I'll be in trouble later. Right, so... So inside the avocado, there's a stone, isn't there? We always know inside an avocado, we will find a stone. And that's a very simple illustration of what it's like to be inside something else. The Bible says, I am, like the stone, I am in Christ. So we're going to be looking at that today. That means wherever the avocado goes, I go with it. If the avocado is sold in the shop, I'm sold with it. I'm totally surrounded by the avocado. I'm fully identified with the avocado. Have you ever thought about it like that? What does it actually mean to be in Christ? So we're going to be looking at what it might mean through that simple illustration today. And let's see where we go. Now, before I go into the detail, I know sometimes... excuse me, not very good with the props. Sometimes we can find the Bible a little bit confusing, can't we? Sometimes we can find things in the Bible confusing. So before we go any further, I just want to ask you a simple question this morning, which is the sort of question we get asked when we're talking to people who aren't Christians, who want to know about faith. So the question I'd like you to ask this morning is, where is God? So would you like to just turn to your neighbour and just... think about an answer to this question, where is God, right? And I'd like two or three volunteers quickly to shout out to me where you think God is. Okay, you've got 30 seconds, right? If you've got an answer to the question, please put your hand up. Okay, who'd like to volunteer an answer? Where is God? Anyone? Okay, everywhere. Great answer. Any other answers?
In our hearts.
In our hearts, yeah.
In everything we do.
In everything we do, yeah.
Present.
Sorry?
Present.
He's present, yeah. It's not straightforward, is it? Sometimes we don't think about a simple question. It's actually got quite a complicated answer. You know, the Bible talks about God being in heaven. It says... heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, that's God speaking. We're encouraged to pray our Father in heaven, aren't we? We're encouraged to pray to God in heaven. As we heard, God is everywhere. David says, I can go up to the highest place or the lowest place. Wherever I go, I find God. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent, as we say. That's the official word for that. He means he's everywhere at the same time. God is also in me. The Bible says our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in you. But today we're looking at another concept, which is I am in Christ. It's like I am in God. I'm the stone in the avocado. It's confusing, isn't it? And sometimes I think, you know, when we're speaking to people who are trying to find out about faith, which of these examples is true? And it's really difficult to work out. Is God in heaven or is he everywhere? Is he in me or am I in him? How can all those things be true at the same time? And I think the answer is they are all true. This is what I call stretching our faith. There are lots of things that we come across in our Christian faith where our faith needs to stretch. We know that Jesus, when he was on the earth, was fully God and fully man at the same time. We know that God plans our lives, but also we make our own decisions. How can those things be true? So sometimes we can't always explain everything with our simple thinking, and we are limited. And I would also, we should say, it shouldn't be surprising to us that when we come to deal with God, there's some things that are a bit of a mystery, a bit beyond us. So I've got another prop for you this morning. I've got two. Don't get too excited. Right. I've got here a shape. So what shape is that, everybody? It's a diamond. Okay, right. Okay, so I'm just going to measure it. You know, a diamond, the diagonals are two different lengths. That's right. But I'm telling you, both of the diagonals on this diamond are actually the same length. Did you know that? I'm telling you. Yeah? They are the same length. Yeah? So, if I measure them, that's about, in old money, 13 inches. And this one's about 8 inches. So clearly what I said doesn't seem to be true, does it? But I'm telling you, both the diagonals are the same length. Yeah? Because actually, if I unfold it and you see a shape, yeah? Actually, if there were another dimension, and I'm a two-dimensional being, there is actually a shape which looks exactly like that. There we are. So, now you can see. Can you see? Actually, what I'm looking at, maybe you're not looking at it right. You see it there? Actually, the shape is a cube. Yeah? Am I holding it upright? I need a helper, don't I? Can you see the shape is a cube? Yeah? So if I'm limited to two dimensions like this piece of paper, I'll never work out that the diagonals are actually the same length. Yeah? They're 13 inches and they're 8 inches, but actually, they're not. If I'm God and I'm outside of our dimension, I can measure them and I can see that they're both the same because this is a perfect cube, yeah? And it's the same with us. Sometimes we come across things that we struggle to understand because we are limited by our understanding, yeah? Whereas God is outside of time and space. He's bigger than us. He can operate outside of our two dimensions. And sometimes things that seem like they couldn't be true together can be true together. And that's what I think is the best way of illustrating the fact that I can be in Christ, Christ is in me, God is everywhere, and God is in heaven all at the same time. So hopefully that helps you to recognize that sometimes there is some confusing things in the Bible, but God has all the answers. So let's come to the topic for today. I am in Christ. I don't know if that helped you or not. If you made you more confused, then I'm sorry. Sorry about that. The Bible says that I am in Christ. And that applies to every single Christian. If you have faith in Christ, you believed in Christ, you've received salvation for your sins, then you are in Christ. And I love the word Gordon brought this morning. If you're not in Christ this morning, as Gordon said this morning, there's a place in the heart of God for each one of us. No one is excluded. If that's not you this morning, then please come and talk to us afterwards, and we'd love to explain to you how you can be in Christ. And I'm going to go through some of the verses in the Bible that talk about what does it mean to be in Christ. So the Apostle Paul talks about this a lot. There's loads of examples. And it's really clear that in the early church, this phrase, in Christ, was used all the time, just like we say, I'm a Christian. It actually refers to our new identity, which has been made possible by what Christ has done for us. So in Ephesians 4, it says that we should forgive one another, just as in Christ, God forgave you. We receive our forgiveness in Christ. Without him, we would not be forgiven. In Christ, we're totally and completely forgiven for the wrong things we've done. Now, Paul shows that we're identified with Christ through the whole of his journey, just like the stone remains in the avocado. Through all the things that happened to Jesus, we are identified with him. That includes his death and his resurrection. We were buried, we were baptized into Christ, but it also talks in the New Testament about us being buried with him in baptism and being raised with him. And then it also says God raised us up and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ. So Jesus came to the earth, he died, he was buried, and he was raised again, and then he went back to heaven. In all of those steps, like the little stone in the avocado, we are in Christ in all of those things that have happened to him. It's quite a lot to get our heads around, but effectively what Paul is saying is, as a Christian, a follower of Christ, everything that Christ has done physically when he came to earth has a direct application to our lives spiritually. What does that mean? He died. Symbolically, we need to die. We symbolize that in baptism to our old life. We've been raised with him. That means we have a new life in Jesus. And we share his authority when it talks about us seated with him in heaven. That means we have authority as Christians. Being in Christ should affect our everyday lives. So Paul says we're called to be holy. I mean, the word sanctified means being made holy. And it says here in Corinthians, those sanctified in Christ, called to be his holy people. So with Christ, being in Christ, we can become holy people. It also says that we've been created in Christ to do good works. We're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So being in Christ, like Christ, it sort of makes sense that we would be doing the same sort of things that Jesus would do if he were here on the earth today. And then the end of this life is not the end of being in Christ. It says, Paul refers to Christians who die and he says they have fallen asleep, or they fall asleep in Christ. When we die, we are still in Christ. Death is not the end of this relationship, because Christ has totally transformed our lives. Now, just coming back to the word Christ for a minute, of course, if you were a Jew, you'd have recognized this word Christ and Messiah as the great expected one, the Savior who was going to come. And Paul, in all his writings, speaks about Jesus as the pivot of human history. Now, we set our calendars, don't we? It's 2023, based off when Christ was born. We talk about before Christ, we talk about after Christ. And for many centuries before Jesus came to earth, the whole Jewish nation was waiting for this Messiah. And in the same way we set our calendars by the days when Jesus was on the earth, Paul also sees everything as being changed now that we are in Christ. The phrase in Christ refers to the fact that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Nothing that was there before is now the same after Christ came to the earth. And the same for us. The way we were before we met Christ should not be the same as we are now after we have met Christ. We should be very different in our lives, and others should notice it. So there are many verses in the New Testament which talk about this extraordinary transformation. Let's have a quick look at some of them. In Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:13, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And Romans 6, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. These verses show how fundamentally we are changed by being in Christ. We were far away, and now we are brought near. The old has gone, the new has come. We were dead. We need to be dead to sin and alive to God. And also, in Christ, we have that eternal perspective. We don't need to fear death. It says, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15. And a famous verse in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So all of these things come to us by being in Christ. We're made alive and we have eternal life. You know, it's the most beautiful thing to see this happening, to see God transforming lives when we see people come to Christ, isn't it? If you see somebody come to faith, you see their life totally changed, totally transformed in every area. And this is God's plan for us when we are in Christ. Now, being in Christ has loads and loads of benefits. Now, hopefully you're familiar with some of these things, but I just want to run through some of the things, and there are many, many more things that come to us by being in Christ. So let's let them sink in. Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Galatians 3, in Christ you are all children of God through faith. Galatians 2, freedom that we have in Christ. And Philippians 4, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 15, we have hope in Christ. All those wonderful things come into our lives. God pours them into our lives when we are in Christ. We're set totally free from guilt, from condemnation, from feeling bad about ourselves. We have a new relationship with God. We're now His children. And we enjoy freedom, peace, hope, and loads more. And that's not all. I've only picked some simple verses there. There are some bigger verses I find that blow my mind every time I read them. I've written here eternal benefits. These are like superlative things that relate to us now we are in Christ. I think you could spend the rest of your life studying these and never really understand all the great goodness, kindness, and generosity of God that He's planned for us if we are in Christ. It says in Ephesians 1, He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every blessing in Christ. One of my favorite verses, Colossians 2 and verse 10, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. You don't have to live your life half-grown, stunted, restricted. You can be the wonderful, true, original, perfect version of yourself that God originally intended. Come to fullness in Christ. In Christ, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. All of God's promises get a green tick against them. They are yes for you in Christ. And you know the incomparable riches of God's grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ. The love of God comes to you in Christ. It says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. So that love that God gives to you, you can never be separated from. I'm sorry for all of these verses. It's too much, isn't it? But that's just an illustration of how much God has for us in Christ. It's a total, complete transformation in our lives that we have by being in Christ. And all of these extraordinary statements are applied to us now. We can explore, grow, understand and experience them both now and in the future. Now, it's not all perfect and wonderful. There are also a downside or a cost or a price. I don't want to sugarcoat the story today of what the Bible says. But the Bible talks also about difficulties for those who are in Christ. It says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Paul talks about his fellow prisoners in Christ. You know, Paul wrote many of these letters that we've been quoting from today from prison. He suffered extreme hardship, persecution, and pain. And he told us that we would do the same. And I remember a time when this first verse really troubled me. I wondered, why was I not being persecuted? I felt like my life was okay. And if I was really following God, why was my life so easy? But I can tell you, if you push on into your destiny, if you try and follow what God has asked you to do, if you listen to Him and follow Him, you will come up against difficulties in life. This verse guarantees them. Paul did, Jesus did, and we should not expect to be any different. But God gives us the ability to stand and to overcome. So this last verse, it is God who makes us, both us and you, stand firm in Christ. So in Christ, you will come up with against problems, but God gives us all that we need to overcome. So, coming back to our avocado, if we're truly in Christ, it should not surprise us. We look at the life of Jesus. He suffered. He was often misunderstood. He had a very tough life for 33 years. Many enemies. People who in the end wanted to torture and kill him. So where the avocado goes, the stone goes too. If Christ has gone there, we should expect to follow. So the last page of verses, I'm sure you'll be glad to know. This is the last page. If you're trying to write them down, I'm sorry, there's too many verses for you to write down. But we started out right at the beginning saying this new series is all about what God says about us, our identity, and how that makes a difference to our relationships. If we are followers of Jesus, we are all of us here in Christ. He has completely and totally transformed our lives. So that must affect our relationships with one another. How could it not affect our relationships? As a family of God together, we are people who are in Christ. And our relationships must be special. They must have a different character than any other relationship that we have. New relationships, deep relationships, formed out of our shared experience of having our lives transformed by Christ. And Paul speaks, first of all, in the first verse here in Corinthians, about being a father. He says, in Christ Jesus, I became your father. We get new people in our lives who are like fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters to us. Deep relationships, just as important and real as our natural relationships. And he spoke profoundly of his love for the people in these different churches. In Corinthians, he says, my love to all of you in Christ. There's a special love that he had for those who were birthed through his ministry in Christ. And throughout his letters, he expected the Christians to experience a new level of relationship, a new level of connection, a new level of love for each other. It says in Romans, in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to the others. Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And then he greets his co-workers in quite a lot of the letters. He says, I'm greeting you as my co-workers in Christ. So together in Christ, we make up one body, we belong to each other, and we belong to Christ. We're all one, an extreme form of unity. No separation, no subgroups, no cliques, and we're all co-workers. We've got work to do together. If all that we've looked at this morning is true of us, how can our relationships not be affected? So, to summarize, the Bible says that I am in Christ. A mystery, how can that be? Like the stone in the avocado, I am in Christ. When God looks at Christ, I am there in him. When he looks at me, he sees Christ. Where Christ goes, I go with him. We are totally identified and connected with Christ. And through the whole journey of Christ, while he was on this earth, his life, death and resurrection, his ascension, that it also applies to us. It has a spiritual application. We have to follow that journey as well. In baptism, we die to him, die to our old life. And we're raised to life again as a new creation. We enjoy this massive list of amazing benefits. We're not condemned for our sins. We're children of God. We have peace, freedom, and hope. And we're brought to fullness. Every promise for us is yes, and we can never be separated from the love of God. As I said, being in Christ does come with a price. We can be asked to suffer, but God will help us to stand firm. And finally, being in Christ will affect our relationships with each other. Just look around the room this morning. People here who are in Christ with you, we should be seeing a special unity, special love, because we are one body, we belong to each other, and the Bible says we are all one. So over the coming weeks, we're going to be talking more about our identity and how it reflects our relationships with each other. But let's thank God this morning for his great goodness and kindness to us in making all these things true and transforming our lives. Maybe we haven't realized yet that all these things are true already if you're a Christian. Let's ask him to continue to make them real to us in our lives. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know him as your Lord, you wouldn't say you're in Christ, you're not sure about it, come and speak to myself or one of the leaders afterwards and ask for prayer. We'd love to speak to you about how you can also be in Christ this morning. Let's pray before we close. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing things that you have done for us, that you have made true about us. Sometimes it's too much for us to understand. But I thank you, Lord, whether we can fully comprehend it or not, it is true that we are in Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to understand more what difference this makes in our lives. You would continue the transformative work of your Holy Spirit in everyone here this morning. And I pray in particular as we go through this next series about our identity and our relationships, that you would make us stronger together in unity and love. As one body, belonging to each other, you'd make us one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.